It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okbanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a...
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Thanks so much for being here. However you are tuned in, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or online at the 1650thefan.com stream. A lot to get to today on the show. We're going to talk some baseball and some basketball. Just kind of in that pocket right now. Baseball season still going on. A little bit of basketball news out there. You got a lot of high school kids that are entering their senior seasons, making their decisions on where to play college ball at. And we'll have some news on that as it relates to both the Cedar Falls Tigers, one of theirs making that decision, then also a big get for the Iowa State men's basketball team, intern David Warrington alongside. He will have area sports news and scores for you here in just a few short moments to start the show like always. But as I mentioned, thanks so much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650TheFan. You'll find it. Hammer the like button, and you'll be all set and ready to go. And I promise we won't be like one of your friends on Facebook where you go, man, I just don't want to see their posts anymore, but I don't want to go through the drama of unfriending them. And you know what? David Warrington is over here smiling like he's probably had that same experience. I would say, what, 999 out of 100 Facebook users have had that experience?
Oh, at least.
Yeah. Well, here's a fun fact, and I know I'm telling plenty of people something they don't know, and I'm sure this is a little revealing about me, but you can click, like, there's a little, like, I think it's like the three dots at the top right of anybody's post that you see. You can click that. It'll give you the option to either snooze them for 30 days or unfollow them, but stay friends. Let's just say I've done that a time or 12. All right? Let's just say I've done that a time or 12. And out of the goodness of my heart, it's not always just direct to the unfollow. It's like, you know what? Maybe they're just going through a phase, and let's snooze them for 30 days. And then 37 days later, you're like, nah, man. Like, if it's a phase, it's a pretty long one, and I'm out. I'm just going to unfollow. Yes, no, or abstain on whether or not you've unfollowed anybody on Facebook, David.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, all right. I like that you had the spine to say that you've done that before. But, jam-packed show today, like usual. If you want to join in, dial us up, 319-277-198. 1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Know that you can get the podcast of this show and all sorts of great local and statewide sports content at the website 1650thefan.com. Put the post back up on the homepage today that, yes, you can listen to 2022 Iowa State football right here on The Fan. It's awesome. That's kind of one of those things that you do when you're like, man, yeah, I guess summer's kind of getting over, but the fact that football season is on the other side of it, it's hard to get too upset about it, at least as far as this guy is concerned. Okay, let's do this then, David. Been kind of talking about that, you know, like I hate to talk away people's summers, but at the same time, you got that carrot of football on the other side. How would you power rank the four seasons?
Let's go with fall has to be number one.
Of course. There you go.
Football.
You keep your job.
And then I'll go fall, summer, winter, and then spring.
We hardly even get a spring anymore.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's like, I like you spring, but where you been?
Yeah.
Like, I think spring snoozed us. You know what I mean? Spring on Facebook snoozed us, snoozed Iowa. It's like, nah, I'm out for a while. Come back, man, please. Like, would love to have you back, spring. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I would love to put spring second, but when it doesn't exist, how can I put it there? So you hit that nail on the head for sure. You can email the show if you'd like. Send us your power rankings of the four seasons or anything else. Just try to keep the profanities to a minimum. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. After we're done here in the first segment, we'll of course get you a CBS Sports Flash VSiN action update and a forecast all in that first time out. We'll come back on the other side, and we are less than a week away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and my head and my heart are fighting one another right now as a Chicago Cubs fan, David, as we approach August 2nd. Yesterday has been defined by many Cubs fans as the saddest win in franchise history, as it was the swan song at Wrigley Field, most likely for catcher Wilson Contreras, who has spent all 13 years of his career as a professional baseball player in the Cubs organization, multi-time All-Star, and then Ian Happ. Ian Happ looking like he's going to get traded, and going to have Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com in that next segment to talk all the way through it. I am of the belief, and I've gone back and forth on this, but I am of the belief with where the Cubs farm system sits, with where they sit and what they won't call a rebuild, but is a rebuild, call it a retool, whatever, that a four-year contract for Wilson Contreras, like if that hasn't even been extended to him, like I don't agree with that, but at least give us your rationale. Like, and I can understand they don't want to do it now while he's still wearing the Cubs uniform. But at least this offseason, at the end of season press conference, I feel like Jed Hoyer owes it to Cubs fans to explain why there was never a contract extension offered to Wilson Contreras, because that's what the thought is right now. The Cubs keep all that stuff ever since Theo came in very close to the vest about negotiations, how much money they're spending, what the payroll budget is. I can understand the advantages that come with playing it that way, but if Wilson Contreras does get traded and it doesn't look like you're going to re-sign him in free agency, well, then at that point, explain it to us. And maybe withhold some stuff that because you think that it might be bad PR to lay your entire internal scouting report on Wilson Contreras out, but at least make some points as to why you made the decision you have. Because I sit here and go, this is a multi-time all-star catcher who's got a bat that looks like it'll be good for at least another two seasons, if not four. It's hard to find good hitting catchers. He's as good at throwing guys out and backpicking guys as anybody. The pitch framing has been the criticism, but robot umpires are on their way. Ian Happ, I can understand trading. Like Ian Happ, he's a good player. He's not a great player. And it's if there's a position you can find talent, it's at the corner outfield spots. So I can understand. And the Cubs have some promising-looking minor leaguers in that position. So I can understand the pragmatism with trading Ian Happ. There's also additional value with him because he's got an extra year of team control for a team that acquires him. Wilson Contreras will be a free agent at the end of the year. So that's where I'm at on this. And it's kind of like last year with the big sell-off. I remember being on the show and saying, yeah, it sucks, but I'm going to reserve my judgment until this next offseason's over. They will eventually explain things in the end of season press conference, and we've had some time to see what these new prospects do in the minor leagues. And so far, that's looked pretty good. And Chris Bryant hasn't done too much in Colorado. Javi Baez having a tough year in Detroit. Kyle Schwarber, I mean, continues to be this generation's Adam Dunn, or Matt Stairs for maybe some of our older listeners out there. And you know, Rizzo's hitting 230 and hitting some bombs in the short porch, but I think if the Cubs would have signed any of those guys to the contracts that were rumored, that right now would all look like overpays. So it does look like that, as shrewd as it may have been, that the right decisions were made. So we'll dig into all of it with Michael Cerami in the next segment, BleacherNation.com. After we're done there, we will take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports, and then we'll take, on the other side of that timeout, I should say, in the third segment, Nick Osen of CycloneAlert.com is back on the show as TJ Altzeberger and his staff have landed another huge 2023 recruit. Their 2023 recruiting class is done now. Short of transfers, which I'm sure there will be. But in terms of recruiting freshmen, they're done. They can put their feet up on the table. And the third and final one is a five-star, and you'll have more info on that here in just a moment. But just incredible work by TJ Altzeberger and his staff, which, of course, includes two former UNI Panther staff members, and Kyle Green and Eric Crawford. So shout-out to those guys over there. We'll do that in the third segment today. When we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Come back and wrap up what is the final Colin Company of this week, similar to last week. And I'm not in that realm, but I'm getting there. It's going to take time for all the clones out there. As Jim Rome says, why do I take so much vacation, clones? Because I have so much vacation. Unfortunately, if you are me, what you don't do is take like that week off and go somewhere real nice, because I love the Cedar Valley, man. I'm all about the Cedar Valley. I play my Friday golf, play my Thursday afternoon golf. Usually if I can, maybe play a little slow pitch, get some softball worked in there too. So, it's just one of those things that I was telling David this. I know I was telling somebody this. It's just about recharging the batteries for what really is the silly season. And that is that run from late August through late March, early April on the sports calendar. And David, I think maybe you probably could attest to this by now. I really feel like July 1st, if you work in this business, may as well be the new year.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I had that conscious thought when the calendar went from June to July 1st. I was like, it feels like the new year. It feels like January 1 for I guess, normal people. You know what I mean? So I feel like that we're just at the end of the first month of the year, basically. That's how I see it. So being able to recharge the batteries here has been nice, because that's what's been happening. Been taking some Fridays off, just working 4-day weeks, 3.5-day weeks. And, full disclosure, these are the dog days of sports talk radio. Like, we're finally getting back into it. I was talking with David Eicholt yesterday that, like, hey, we're in the talking football season. Talking and writing about football season has started. We're not playing football yet, but we're getting there. So the content is starting to ramp up, but I don't feel guilty about 3 or 4 shows a week right now, because guess what? We're going to have 5 great shows a week here really damn soon, because guess what? The content's going to be great. There's going to be football. There's going to be volleyball. There's going to be playoff baseball going on. So just to, get behind the curtain a little bit there. But yeah, no Colin Company tomorrow or Friday. And if I'm not mistaken, just laid out there, I think I've got the next 3 Fridays off after this one. So, me and David chopped it up too. I'm sure this applies to many other people. You don't get what you don't ask for when you're working a job. So, it took a while. I didn't have this much vacation years ago, but I'm glad to have it now. And I think everybody's going to be better for it. You, me, the listeners, everybody. So, just a little programming note there. But, David, I know we got a light stack today, so why don't you get going, area sports news and scores for a Wednesday.
A member of the Cedar Falls girls basketball team has committed early. Grace Knutson announced on Twitter last night that she is committing to Drake. Knutson, a 5'10 wing player, last year led Cedar Falls in scoring as a sophomore, averaging 12.4 points per game. She also averaged 5.5 rebounds while shooting 32% from three-point range on 131 attempts. University of Iowa senior linebacker Jack Campbell and senior defensive back Riley Moss have both been named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy preseason watch list. The Bronco Nagurski Trophy is awarded to the best defensive player in college football. It's one of many preseason honors for Campbell, a Cedar Falls native. Campbell has also been named to the Athlon Sports preseason All-Big Ten first team, as well as earning first-team All-America accolades by Phil Steele, Athlon Sports, and Sporting News. The Iowa State basketball team received a major addition last night. Five-star recruit Omaha Ballou announced that he's committing to the Cyclones. Ballou, a 6'8", 210-pounder, is considered by 24/7 Sports as the number 12 player in the 2023 class and the number one player in the state. Ballou chose Iowa State over other finalists Kansas, Oregon, and the NBA G League. He spent his junior season at Branson Link Academy in Missouri, but has returned to Waukee for his senior year. He helped lead Waukee to the 4A state basketball title as a sophomore in 2021. And lastly, the Waterloo Bucks swept the doubleheader at Bismarck yesterday in Northwoods League play. Waterloo took the first game 9-3 and the nightcap 6-5. The Bucks raised their record to 5-12 in the second half of the season. They're currently on a season-best three-game winning streak. The Bucks will go for a sweep of their four-game series at Bismarck tonight.
Bucks are hot. Look out, Northwoods League. Great stuff, David. Let's take this time out. We'll come back on the other side. We're talking MLB trade deadline. BleacherNation.com's Michael Cerami next on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, 10-time All-Star Mike Trout has been diagnosed with a rare back condition that he'll have to manage for the remainder of his career. The three-time MVP has been on the injured list since July 16th and received a cortisone shot last week. Without Trout today, the Angels go on, and they blank the Royals by a score of 4-0. Right now, bottom of the sixth, Houston trails Oakland by a score of 3-2. Make that now bottom of the seventh as Yordan Alvarez with his 29th home run of the season for the Astros in this one. Texas leads Seattle 2-1 in the bottom half of the seventh. A couple of finals. It was Detroit over San Diego by a score of 4-3. The Braves fall on Philadelphia 7-2. They're now 2.5 games behind the Mets in the National League East. Bottom of the seventh, the Dodgers in front of the Nationals by a score of 6-1. San Francisco and Arizona are even at 2 in the bottom of the sixth. Ketel Marte with his 10th homer of the season in that one. Right now in the ninth, Milwaukee with a 10-4 lead over Minnesota. Rowdy Tellez with a couple of homers. He has 20 on the year. Top of the seventh, it's Colorado with a 3-2 lead over the White Sox. The 49ers have released D4. The Patriots reportedly signed defensive tackle Devon Godshaw to a 2-year deal. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Jim Rome here. Coming up Thursday in the Jungle, a conversation with Packers safety Adrian Amos. See you Thursday, 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific.
You don't have to wait until you're in your car to hear The Fan. Just tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 86. This is how you say, "Gee Willikers, it's a hot one." Let's cool down with some Bud Lights. And that's it for today. Bud Light. Crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra. The perfect balance of taste and refreshment and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Patrick Cantlay, the favorite at the Rocket Mortgage Classic underway this week. Cantlay at plus 1,000. 3M Open champion Tony Finau at plus 1,400, along with Will Zalatoris, Cameron Young at plus 1,600. UFC 277 set for Saturday in Dallas, the main event, the highly anticipated rematch between Amanda Nunes and Juliana Pena for the Women's Bantamweight Championship. Nunes a minus 275 favorite, Pena plus 230. For the interim flyweight championship, Brandon Moreno minus 220 against Kai Kara-France at plus 175. White Sox minus 141 on the money line this afternoon at the Rockies at plus 110, 12.5 the set total. The Cubs at the Giants Thursday, Chicago on a six-game winning streak. Red hot winning picks at experts.winners and winners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winners and winners.com.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 the Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 62. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers, high of 78. 56 tomorrow night, clear skies and quiet. Upper 70s Friday, turning warmer on Saturday with highs in the low 80s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 83.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Follow Cole on Twitter at Real Colbert.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan, and talked a little bit about it in the first segment. Just all the feels from that Cubs game yesterday. Perhaps maybe the saddest win of all time in Cubs franchise history. And so with the trade deadline approaching, deadline is coming up on August 2nd. That's next Tuesday. Wanted to make sure that we connected with our guy, Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com. Follow him on Twitter at Michael_Cerami. That is C-E-R-A-M-I. Michael's going to give us the lowdown on everything. As this retooling Cubs team approaches the trade deadline, Michael, to quote one Ron Burgundy, I feel like I'm inside a glass case of emotion.
Yeah. The Cubs pushed to a six-game winning streak yesterday, and that's a season-high six-game winning streak. And it was one of the saddest days of the season to be a Cubs fan. So I definitely feel you there. The echoes of last trade deadline are certainly returning.
Yeah, no doubt. This one is there's similar feelings. There's also different feelings, and I'm finding myself confronted more and more as we near the deadline. I try to be that Cubs fan where, you know, you look through the Jed Hoyer lens the best you can. You look through your fan lens the best that you can. And maybe, you know, that third-party lens as well, just so you can, you know, be even-keeled about everything. But my head and my heart are wrestling right now. I feel like trading Ian Happ is a good, sensible thing for the Cubs to do, because I think they can get a good amount of value back. I'm not saying they can't get value for Wilson Contreras, but with what I see in the minor leagues, from what I read at BleacherNation.com that informs me of everything in the minor leagues, I feel like Wilson Contreras should be our Yadi Molina, but better, and you know, be a Cub for a lot longer.
Yeah, I think that would have been great. I think we're just so far past the point of that becoming a reality. The only way you can hold out hope is if the rare trade and re-sign in the offseason approach unfolds. But it's rare for a reason. It doesn't happen a lot, and there's just a lot of additional factors that point me in the direction of the Cubs not quite valuing Wilson Contreras' contributions behind the plate. I'm sure they love his bat. It's impossible not to, but I just don't think they want him to be the catcher that leads the next group of young pitchers that are emerging through the system right now into the big leagues and through their early parts of their career. So I would be surprised if he's certainly not staying beyond the deadline, and I would be very surprised if they bring him back next year at all.
When it comes to the Cubs perhaps wanting a different skill set in the next catcher to be paired with this emerging group of young pitchers, Michael, I know there's data out there criticizing Wilson's ability to frame pitches. What other rationale might there be? Because he's got an incredible arm. He's about as good as anybody at back picking runners. I just suppose there's got to be more than meets a casual fan's eye like mine here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, his framing skills, they were historically bad. Then he got pretty good at it for a while, but they've trailed off again. That is less so the concern, especially as we move towards a future that is likely to include robot umpires, mm-hmm. robot strike zones. That might not be as much of a concern. Instead, it's game calling and receiving and just helping young pitchers understand how to attack a certain team, a certain hitter. There's things that the scouts and coaches can do, and pitching coaches especially, no doubt. But the catcher-pitcher relationship is an important one, and when you have a guy like Yan Gomes already in the on the team, on the roster, and will be here next year. I just imagine the Cubs rather have a veteran like him to help some of these young pitchers along. I'm not saying that that's the way I would want to go. I love Wilson Contreras. I will be sad when he's traded, and I think the bat has a ton of value. There's no doubt about it. But I just think the Cubs are content to go the veteran catcher know-how light bat route as opposed to the less heralded, you know, catching guidance like big bat route in Wilson Contreras. So I think next year we're likely to see a combination of Yan Gomes and P.J. Higgins behind the plate to start the year. Miguel Amaya is already back up. He's in Double A. He could be part of the future. Certainly less you're less confident about that now than you were a year or two ago before the injury started piling up. But catchers develop slowly and take a long time to get up. So he could be a big part of the future. And, of course, there's always a chance that the Cubs make a surprising trade for a catcher in one of these deals, a catching prospect. I talked about possibly going after Joey Bart from the San Francisco Giants. He was a top. He was the second overall pick in the draft a couple years ago. He was a top prospect. He was untouchable at one point. But more recently, he has struggled offensively, particularly with strikeouts. He is well regarded as a receiver and a catcher and a game planner, game caller behind the plate. So the Cubs feel confident that they can help address some of his strikeout issues the way they have with, let's be honest, Wilson Contreras, Patrick Wisdom, Ian Happ. Those guys have made huge strides in the strikeout rate this year. If they feel like they are the team that could sort of help him unlock that side of the game, he can be a guy that you get for the next 5-6 years at a time when you're buying low on him. Again, this was a prospect that you could not have touched a year or 2 years ago. Would not have been possible. So it would be a buy low move, but I do think that that is something they could look to do if they don't want to go the pure prospect route. And the Giants are a team that have been in contact with the Cubs in a number of deals. So I think that's just one of many options, but it's a pretty, you know, intriguing one.
I also think, too, in the situation there about potentially acquiring a talent like Bart, it makes me think about what should Jed Hoyer be looking for with regard to the return for an Ian Happ trade and a Wilson Contreras trade. With the amount of depth that, credit to him and Carter Hawkins in the front office, they have built a lot of depth in his short time as president of baseball ops. What do you think they should be looking for? They're probably going to get multiple pieces, I would imagine, when they trade Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras. And what's there to be said for maybe packaging one of those guys with someone else to increase the return, because you're not trading a Chris Bryant or a Javi Baez where that one name maybe brings you back everything you want?
Sure. So a couple things to unpack there. One, there has been a lot of talk about package trades, including Happ and Contreras. There's been one with the Padres, who are looking for a big bat. I think if they don't get Soto, Happ and Contreras would be an excellent fallback. That's a big addition offensively to any lineup. There's been even more talk, however, of either Happ or Contreras, and then one of the relievers, Michael Givens, David Robertson, Chris Martin. I tend to think that the Cubs are going to want to trade David Robertson in his own deal because he has his own unique value. But I do think that pairing Michael Givens with one of the hitters could really it could increase the value of the return in a non-linear fashion. So that's kind of why you would do that. And the Cubs have had some package deals in the past. I mean, they traded Javi Baez with Trevor Williams last year to get Pete Crow Armstrong. And there's I wrote about it a couple weeks ago. I went through a list, and over the last 5-6 years, the Cubs have actually done a lot of those types of trades. So they do seem to see the value in maximizing the return as opposed to spreading out that quality over a bigger quantity of players. And I think that that's the right way to go. In terms of acquiring prospects versus big league ready players, well, I kind of hope they do what they did last year, which is target mostly prospects, but then you do find one trade. And again, I know this didn't quite work out. I still like the process that got them there.
Yeah.
The Craig Kimbrel deal, where they ended up with Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer, two guys that were supposed to be big contributors this season. Obviously, both are injured right now. But I think if you could go and find the best prospects on most of your deals, but target one trade that you can sort of return players that will help immediately or as soon as next season, I think that that is kind of having your cake and eating it too. You get a little bit of both worlds. And the thing that I want people to remember too is that acquiring all these prospects, even if they're far away, doesn't necessarily mean that the timeline of the next great club team, quote unquote, is their timeline. I do think that we're headed towards an inevitable trade, buy-side trade for the Cubs sometime, maybe this offseason, maybe next deadline, where they use so much of this prospect capital that they have amassed over the last few years, and they will have another top six pick next year too, almost certainly. So I think it's okay to look at some of the trades that they complete at this over the next 5-6 days and be skeptical of the fact that they're going to actually wait to see these guys in the majors. I think we're headed towards a trade, and you just have to build up as much capital as you can. You never know when someone like, you know, Juan Soto might be available. And I also think if he's not traded by the deadline, the Cubs might be in a pretty good position to make a play for him in the offseason. It's just, we got to hope the Cardinals don't get there first.
Yeah, I know. That was a gut punch reading those reports about the Cardinals being the front runner for Soto, for whatever that sort of, you know, informed speculation is worth right now. But Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com, our guest on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Okay, one thing I wanted to ask Michael is to kind of get to like page two of this Cubs trade newspaper, if you will. And on page two, you're going to find guys like reliever Chris Martin, who I would think contending teams would like to have a guy like that in their pen, or a Rafael Ortega, who can really hit right-handed pitching and a good fourth outfielder. We've seen Jed Hoyer already get some good return with guys of this type of value. Do you expect that both those guys get moved? And maybe is there anybody else maybe in this category that potentially could get moved for someone that, you know, maybe like I think back to like Bryce Ball maybe. That might not be the best example, but you know what I'm getting at here with these candidates to be traded.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do think Chris Martin will be traded. I think there's virtually no shot that David Robertson, Michael Givens, and Chris Martin make it past the deadline. That's, I would say, maybe 90% of the reason the Cubs signed these guys in the first place. They knew exactly what they were doing. And, you know, so far it seems like it's going to work out really well for them. One player that hasn't been brought up as often, but I have seen mentioned a little bit lately, is Patrick Wisdom. For teams that are looking for steady defense at third base and maybe a little bit of power, Patrick Wisdom is a low-cost acquisition, low-cost in salary target that the Cubs might be content to move at what is so far his maximum value. He could have more in him, and I think that he's been better than we sort of most pessimistically expected this year, so there's nothing there. But when you look at someone like Chris Morel, who's been absolutely phenomenal, and he comes out and says, like, you know, third base is his most comfortable position, his best position. Well, you start to think, hey, if we're going to get anybody for Patrick Wisdom right now, that might be the move. And then you suddenly have a spot open up for Chris Morel, who really does seem like the real deal, legitimate rookie of the year candidate. Mm-hmm. Let's just put him where he's most comfortable, and then let's see what he can keep doing with the bat. So I do think someone like Patrick Wisdom could be in play. There was a rumor yesterday that the Brewers might want to make a deal for him, and you get a little sweaty when you make an division trade. But when it comes to someone like Patrick Wisdom, you know, you take the best value. You wouldn't trade them Wilson Contreras. You wouldn't trade them even David Robertson.
Yeah.
But Patrick Wisdom is a guy that you can live seeing every, you know, 19 times a year or whatever it is. Especially if the Brewers are the team that are going to give you the best return. But it doesn't have to be just Milwaukee. I do think there could be a market for him, and he's one of these guys that I think we're kind of overlooking as a potential trade piece for the Chicago Cubs.
Finally, Michael, just what's it like for you? I kind of touched on this at the top, talking about a glass case of emotion, but what's it like for you living through this moment as the trade deadline clock approaches zero? And, you know, we've been told that the Cubs plan to compete in 2023.
Yeah, I have just total cognitive dissonance. I think part of me, here's my, you know, brutally honest take. Part of me is, you know, I'm extremely sad to move on from Wilson Contreras. And Ian Happ is another guy that I have been pounding the table for years and years in my belief of Ian Happ, and I'm absolutely ecstatic that he was selected as an All-Star, and I think that the reports of everybody in baseball wanting a piece at him is, you know, on the one hand, it's sad. On the other hand, you're like, yes, of course. I mean, this is the guy we knew he could be. Top 10 pick. Finally, it all clicks. Hitting from both sides of the plate. Good defense in left field. You know, not a lot of strikeouts anymore. Still hitting for power, blah, blah, blah. So great. But it makes you sad because these are the guys that we sort of, two of the last guys that we sort of fell in love with over the last half decade. But then the other half of me is, and I hate to say this because I do feel everything I just said, I get a little excited about the influx of new talent that's about to arrive in the system.
Yeah.
We didn't know what we were in store for last trade deadline, and that was extremely painful. But on the whole, it looks like Jed Hoyer might have knocked that trade deadline out of the park. Kevin Alcantara is going to be a top 75 prospect. PCA might already be a top 50 prospect. Caleb Killian is a top 100 prospect. Alexander Canario might be the hottest hitter in baseball. I mean, you could keep going down the list, and you're like, man, these are really, really great pieces to have in your system, and you just don't get a lot of opportunities to add that much talent at once. Fortunately, that's a good thing, but when you do, you can step back, look on the bright side, and say, listen, we're about to have maybe two or three more guys that we can slide into the top 10 to 15 range in an already loaded system. That's good. That's useful. That has a lot of value. And when, again, you think that the Cubs are headed towards a trade of prospects for major leaguers, possibly as soon as this winter, I think it gets you all the more excited about the possibility of adding talent right now.
All right, Michael, I think I'm going to be okay. And I appreciate all the knowledge that you not only instill in me, but all of our Cubs fans that listen to the station. And I cannot thank you enough. We'll definitely have to do a check-in on one another post-trade deadline. So all the best to you and all the best to everybody out there in the Cubs fan community, I think is necessary to put out there at this time.
All right, thanks a lot for having me. And, yeah, let's check in right after the trade deadline, see how we're both feeling.
All right, great stuff, Michael. It's a plan. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, you too.
Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com. Follow him on Twitter, @Michael_Cerami. Kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up in the break. On the other side, we talk about the five-star commitment the Iowa State men's basketball team got last night. Nick Osen, CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 Sports Network, joins us next on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Radio Iowa Sports, good afternoon. I'm Tim Fisher. We'll start with college basketball and still the biggest recruiting victory in Iowa State men's basketball history as five-star power forward Omaha Ballou committed to TJ Otzelberger's program yesterday. The 6'8" Ballou ranked in the top 10 of the 2023 class. On to college football, where Big Ten Media Days continue today. For the Iowa Hawkeyes, the countdown to the season is on, and after winning the Big Ten West a year ago, the goals have now gone up a level for Kayvon Merriweather.
To actually, you know, be able to overcome that hurdle and actually win the West, I think that was something that I always wanted to achieve while I was here, and to be able to make it to the Big Ten Championship, that was always a goal of mine. And now, you know, that goal is about to surpass itself, and now I want to go and win a Big Ten Championship. It's not enough to just get there. Nah, I want to win it all. I want to, you know, take home the whole crown.
I'm Tim Fisher, Radio Iowa Sports.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council. To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Cole and Company on 1650, The Fan.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. And it wasn't too long ago that we were talking on the show about the Iowa State men's basketball team landing a highly touted four-star prospect, Milan Momcilovic, out of Wisconsin. And you're thinking, okay, that's great, but could they actually do better? I mean, not who's to say who becomes the actual better college basketball player, but T.J. Altsberger and his staff, they've been big game hunting, and they got a five-star forward in Omaha Blue from Waukee, is arriving in Ames as quite possibly, I would say, the highest ever rated recruit. And we will find that out as Nick Osen of CycloneAlert.com and the 24/7 Sports Network joins us now on the show. Nick, how you doing today?
Doing great, my friend. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, and I'm eager to learn more about Omaha Blue headed to Iowa State, because I watched some of his highlights earlier today, because I read way more than I ever watched about him. And from what I understand, we're talking about an incredible athlete. But what can you tell us, Nick, about how polished the basketball skills are?
Yeah, so a major addition, right, to Iowa State in the 2023 class. You know, as you kind of teed it up, this class is really special. And what Omaha is going to bring, you know, on both ends right from the jump is a ridiculously high energy level motor. He makes those around him better. And, you know, defensively especially, he's very skilled. You know, he's got great instincts, and he can really impact the floor all over in that sense. Offensively, there is room to grow. However, based on, you know, recent highlights, and I watched some of him in a recent tournament at Peach Jam, I'm already seeing some improvements. Primarily, you know, he can stretch the floor a little bit more than he used to be. His jump shot's looking more pure. He's great at kind of not creating space, but helping teammates kind of get open. He's not afraid to drive at this point, and he can finish through contact. So I would say the skills are there and growing, and, you know, the ceiling is very high for this class as a whole. And, you know, as I kind of wrote last night, he really raises that alone, not only based on his rating, but also his potential ability.
You know, in watching those highlights, I think you hit the nail on the head. You could just see, you know, what the gifts are because of his frame, because of his athletic ability. It really seems to me like, you know, these offensive skills are going to continue to develop. Who knows how many points per game he'll score this upcoming season. But he will be able to put the ball in the basket in a number of ways. But I think more than anything, he looks like a great runner of the floor. He plays above the rim and will be able to make a big impact defensively. It would seem to me, Nick, in a way where he will be on the floor.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, it's almost as if you read my scouting report, my friend, because those are two of the biggest things I said. You know, the rim running from one end to the other as well, which is, you know, really huge at the college level, especially in this conference in the Big 12. High flyer, can play above the rim. With, you know, the expectations on his shoulders and the rating and the fact that, you know, because not only is he talented on the defensive end, but he's tall, he's long, you know, in terms of a wingspan, he's active. Absolutely. He'll be playing from the jump as long as he continues to improve, which, based on everything I've kind of heard and seen, I think that is certainly expected to happen. And he will immediately impact this class, which I mentioned that should end up as at least one of the best 12 to 15 in the country.
Yeah, four-star guard Jelani Hamilton and the aforementioned Milan Momcilovic, also a four-star. I mean, they could not have drawn this up any better, T.J. Altsberger and his staff.
No, truly. I mean, these were, I would say, Momcilovic and Omaha were probably their two biggest targets. Obviously, they landed both. And what's so cool about them, we have an article on our site about this today as well, is, you know, technically you could say they play the same position, right? Kind of that four, that power forward. But their strengths are so different where they can actually fit perfectly together. You know, Ballou's going to stand out and star on the defensive end. on offense. He'll play above the rim. He'll get rebounds. He'll try to, like I said, help create space for others, not really through his shooting necessarily, whereas that's exactly what Momchilovic will do. He can stretch the floor. He's a knockdown shooter, decent passer for his size as well, and just the two of them will really go together very well. You get a facilitating point guard in there with Hamilton at the two guard, and that class can do a lot, but I just, you know, I've said it and not really shy about saying it. I'm just really impressed not only the level of talent that Iowa State has gotten with this staff, but the way that they can fit and meld together. And that's why I'll say it. I think that, you know, pound for pound, as they say, this is one of the best recruiting units in the country.
Do we know, is Omaha Blue the highest rated recruit to ever commit to Iowa State?
At least in terms of our, 24/7 sports rankings era, yep, he is the highest composite rated recruit for Iowa State to get. Absolutely.
Wow. What would you say the ceiling looks like? I mean, in terms of, you know, how many points per game could he be putting up if he's able to tap in to what's seems to be a great amount of potential quickly in his time he will spend in Ames, and ultimately, like, what is the best version of him look like?
Well, you know, I'm an optimist, as I think I've said on this show, and I think that his ceiling is very high, but also he won't necessarily need to be the top scorer on the team, and you'll see kind of who's left with some of the guys that are on the team right now. But I would say if he's given you, you know, 11 to 13 points, 11, maybe 12, I'd say the ceiling would be in that 13 to 14 range as a true freshman, at least.
Okay.
To go along with 8 or 9 rebounds, a couple assists, and, you know, a couple blocks, I think that that'd be a star as a true freshman for Iowa State. I think that could increase if he, you know, really becomes a knockdown shooter, but it's not necessarily one of his strengths. And like I said, I don't think it has to be because of the other areas of potential he's shown to go along with just the pure talent and shooting that is likely to be on the floor with him, which is why, you know, I think that did kind of factor into his decision. I know that Iowa State recruited him very well, and he's been high on this area and, you know, kind of the culture around here for a while in terms of just being used to it and really liking the family feel and the relationships at Iowa State. But, you know, I know that he's already spoken a lot with these other guys in the class, and I think that they're going to kind of take some of that chemistry on the floor, and they've got some high expectations to bring to the Cyclone, and I'm excited to see it, quite honestly.
Yeah, yeah, I think you speak for every Cyclone fan out there, and I think just college basketball fans in general taking notice of what we've talked about, arguably being the best recruiting class in Iowa State men's basketball history. Nick Osen, CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 Sports, with us on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. And finally, Nick, I suppose, what, just to wrap up the conversation, I think Omaha Billow, if, you know, you were talking to him off the record and asking about, okay, well, what do you think your timeline in Ames as a Cyclone is, he's probably hoping to put up those numbers like you mentioned as a freshman and enter the NBA draft, I would say, at in his mind, perhaps. Hate to speak for him, but just knowing what I know from reading about a prospect like him, that 2 years in Ames would probably be the most that Cyclone fans could expect.
Yeah, I think that's okay to say. You know, I can't even say that I know 100% for sure that that's kind of what he expects, but I do believe with the expectations around him coming in as a five-star and in a system where I think that he will fit so well, like I mentioned, you know, I don't think it's going too far to say that would be kind of the goal. And I think a lot of Iowa State fans do somewhat expect that as well. So I think that's pretty fair. And I think that, you know, what's best for both programs, and I guess both sides of the party there, is even if Iowa State only gets him for a year, if he can show that he can do one and done at Iowa State, well, that really helps a lot of big-time recruits around the country.
Yep.
Even if they're not staying as long, they can find that type of success in Ames, which we've seen before from guys, you know, maybe a little later in their careers and things like that. And I think that the expectation is for, you know, Momchilovic to eventually get to the league as well. I think I've watched enough of his tape where I feel that too. Maybe a little bit longer in school, but I think they could have a couple pros in this class.
Fascinating stuff. Nick, really appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and like usual, always enjoy the conversation. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Cole. We'll talk soon.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Julio Jones must have no hard feelings towards Tom Brady after that improbable Super Bowl 51 comeback, because the two stars are joining forces in Tampa. Jones, on Tuesday, agreed to a one-year deal with the Bucs. Speaking of all-pro wideouts, Deebo Samuel reported to Niners training camp despite a contract impasse. General manager John Lynch says he's had productive talks with Samuel and is hopeful a new deal can get done soon. And the Niners made it clear the starting quarterback Samuel will be catching passes from is Trey Lance. Head coach Kyle Shanahan saying that even if Jimmy Garoppolo isn't traded, this is Trey's team. Joe Burrow will begin camp on the operating table. The Bengals quarterback is having his appendix removed and is expected to miss a few weeks. And Mike McCarthy is not on the hot seat, according to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, who said his head coach, quote, wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't think he was the man to lead this team to a Super Bowl. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Your local one-hour heating and air conditioning knows how miserable it feels when your AC goes out. You want it fixed fast, fixed right, and get a fast quote. Unlike some companies, we don't give you a quote until we actually see what the problem is. Then we'll give you our straightforward price and always stand by our work. Right now, get savings on any AC repair. Call 855-1-HOUR.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
They say practice makes perfect. But once you've got it down, that's only the beginning. There's a whole world out there waiting to see what you can do. So this is for the creators, the performers, and the innovators who love to inspire, be inspired, and do what they love to do. So, whenever you're ready to put yourself out there, we've got your back. Because whoever you aspire to be, First Bank will be the first to serve you. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Ever since the Niners traded up to draft Trey Lance, the writing's been on the wall for Jimmy Garoppolo. Lance is the future in San Francisco, and that future is now. That became evident after Garoppolo was granted permission to seek a trade earlier this month. And if that wasn't enough, yesterday Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan stated the team was ready for Lance to take over. We've seen quarterbacks have success after sitting for a year, but Lance's situation in San Francisco is a little trickier. The Niners have a Super Bowl caliber roster, and the team has consistently remained a contender with Garoppolo. Lance looked overwhelmed in limited action last year. There's still a lot of room for the young signal caller to grow. Lance is just 22. It's impossible for us to know how the young quarterback has progressed in the offseason. But if Lance can't put it all together after sitting an entire season, Kyle Shanahan may regret handing over a championship caliber roster to a young, inexperienced quarterback. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now, a message from Discover about real rewards. If you're a loyal credit card customer, you should be rewarded for your loyalty, preferably with something that you actually want and something that you can actually use, something like Cashback Match. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically, dollar for dollar, because when it comes to rewards, you can't go wrong with cash back. Finally, rewards that make sense. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply. It gets harder to lose weight as we get older. And if you're trying to get fit this summer, get M-Drive Boost and Burn. Burn fat, boost energy, and it supports healthy testosterone. M-Drive Boost and Burn. Clinically tested ingredients support weight reduction, testosterone, and lean muscle. Try M-Drive's exclusive deal for my listeners. Get your first 2 weeks of M-Drive Boost and Burn for just $5. Sign up at mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. First 2 weeks, $5. mdrivedan.com.
You're listening to Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Wednesday and for the week. Off on vacation. Rest of the week, we'll be back on Monday, Lord willing. At 5, so hope everybody has a great weekend. You'll have Mark Simpson with you in the mornings from 6 until 8 to get your local sports fix. Hey, have fun at Iowa's biggest Irish celebration. It's Iowa Irish Fest, presented by Viridian Credit Union, August 5th through the 7th in downtown Waterloo. There's fun for the whole family. Great music, food, games, workshops, and more. Go to iowairishfest.com for your chance to win prizes with their virtual scavenger hunt. Big shout out to our guest today, Nick Osen, CycloneAlert.com, Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com. 37 days until Iowa State football kicks off. Who's counting? Have a great one, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.